Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. I've been reading some books recently on the rite of exorcism. Now, I've taken an interest in this because of the healing ministry. The healing ministry, of course, goes back to the time of Jesus, as Jesus himself was the great exorcist. I've been reading these books by a traditionalist Roman priest by the name of Father Malachi Martin. He was a very well-known exorcist in the Roman Church, and he was also an observer and an insider in the Vatican during the very tumultuous days of Vatican II Council back in the 1960s. Father Martin, a very learned man, has written many books, not just on exorcism, but on a number of topics in which he had taken and turned them into fiction, but they were based on true stories. One of his books, the book I'm reading right now, called Possessed or Besieged by the Devil, is a case study of four individuals who have been possessed and who are taken through the healing process of exorcism in the church. Now, not reading any of these for any lurid reasons, but again, because of the very powerful ministry of Christ at work in exorcism. The main thing that every priest, not only Roman priests, but Orthodox priests too, will attest to is the spiritual danger inherent, not only, of course, for the possessed, but of the actual person, the healer of Christ's ministry. And the danger is of one taking one's eyes off of Christ as they perform this very important ministry. And all exorcists will say, Orthodox or Roman, that again and again, that Satan's greatest weapon he tries to use against the healer of Christ is that that healer take his eyes off of the prayers that he is supposed to be concentrating on and the word of God that he's supposed to be speaking to heal and drive the demon forth from the individual servant. We see that this morning in the example of St. Peter. St. Peter, who takes his eyes off of Christ. And what happens? When his eyes are focused on Christ, when he is listening to Christ's words, he is doing great and marvelous works, as he would again and again in the ministry that he was given. But when he takes his eyes off of Christ, he sinks. St. Peter knew the failures of taking his eyes off of Christ, not only in this episode, but at other times. We remember last week the feeding of the 5,000. After that miracle, the gospel tells us that our Lord came to Peter and said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter confessed very strongly, strongly by the work of the Holy Spirit in him, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. These are not words of God, of man that you speak." But then, immediately after that great and strong confession of faith, Peter takes his eyes off of Christ. For Christ says to him and the disciples, "The time is coming when I am going to die in Jerusalem." And what does Peter answer? Not in faith this time, but in the words of his own flesh, "It'll never happen to you, Lord." The Lord must respond and rebuke in strong words. "Peter, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. You have not in mind the things of God, but the things of man." And a couple other times when Peter also took his eyes off of Christ. When in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord was arrested. And how did Peter respond? He takes out his sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus. And the Lord says, "Put it away. I shall die." Remember again, in the courtyard, Jesus stood arrested, and Peter before the fire had not his eyes on Jesus in faith, but in passion-filled weakness, looking on himself, he sunk beneath the waves when thrice he said, "I do not know him." Our Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, "I am the vine, you are the branches, and apart from me, you can do nothing." Metaphor of the gospel today, apart from me, you sink. What a powerful story today. A reassurance of just it is who we have beside us at all times.
The Lord, who is the master over wind and waves, because he is the creator of wind and waves. He is the Lord and God Almighty, who stands with us in every situation and empowers us to do the greatest of things in ministry for him. And yet we are also reminded that we will sink just as easily as St. Peter in our sinfulness when we turn away from our Lord and at each moment turn to our own weakness, our own passion, our own lusts. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let us again look at some of the words of our gospel today. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Now, I guess we can kind of get the disciples a little bit of slack here, because it was the fourth watch of the night, which in the Roman reckoning of the night was about 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, if these were out there still fighting against the wind and waves at 3 to 6 in the morning, when normally they would have been in bed because they're going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go back to work, we can understand they're probably a little delirious. They see Jesus, but they can't reckon him. In their fear, they see only a ghost. I guess we can't chide them in one way, but in another, they should have known this Savior, who had again and again, by this point in their ministry, showed them his power, showed that he was their Lord, showed that he was the Master. But again, all of us know this, don't we? How many times we've come to church for how many years? How many times again and again we hear the gospel? How many times again and again we go to confession and we make confession of our weaknesses? We receive the body and blood of Christ, but we go right back out and we become afraid. We give in. We are weak. We must have our Savior at all times. But notice, how does the Lord respond? In such patience. I mean, again and again, his disciples would fail. But he would come back to them. And what does it say? Immediately he said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I, the great I am. Be of good cheer. Do not be afraid." How many times our Lord would say that throughout their ministry? He is the master, the creator of the wind and waves. Remember, Father Steve had mentioned last week Moses' own staff. And that by that staff, he opened those waters for Israel to go through and to be rescued. But we remember something. It was not the staff itself. It was not the staff that was the power. It was not even Moses who was the power. Who was it? It was the great I am who empowered that man, that prophet, that staff. It is that who stands behind us. Here is the God and Lord. To the miracle here, there is a reaction of faith again from St. Peter now. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." Wow, what great things he is asking here. He's stepping out in faith. He is seeing it. That is how the Lord works in our lives. When he shows us these powerful miracles of work, we are able in that faith to say, "Lord, yes, I can do this." Our Lord has said, "You will be able to move mountains." Our Lord said to Nathanael that day when he saw him under the fig tree, he said, "Nathanael, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You're going to see greater things than these." Again, Peter saw them, the disciples saw these great things. We see them in the ministry of Christ. I was reading through the story of St. Patrick of Ireland not too long ago. And what a powerful story. Patrick fought immeasurable odds to bring Ireland to Christ. Ireland was steeped in its paganism. Other Christian missionaries had gone to Ireland to try to bring the gospel and had failed. They could not get through, but Patrick had been given a special grace of our Lord to bring the gospel. And it is in a culminating moment before Ireland gave itself over to Christ that Patrick encountered the chieftain, the head chieftain, because Ireland was ruled at that time by many different chieftains of different tribes. And there was a head chieftain. And he went, and much like the encountered contest that took place between the prophets of God in the Old Testament and the prophets of falsehood, Patrick faced that great paganism. In this story, it said that the chieftain said, "I have a test, and I will believe in your God if you can pass this test." He had his priest, his pagan priest, and Patrick with his disciples. And the chieftain said, "I'm going to set on fire this great hut." And he set it on fire and he said, "Whichever of you survives, who walks into that fire and survives, I will believe that that is God, the true God." Patrick went in. The chieftain's false priest went in. Patrick walked out. It's like the children in the fiery furnace. Our Lord is that Lord and God, the Lord over the wind and the waves, the Lord over the fires, the Lord who goes with us, and the Lord who said, "Come. You want to walk? Absolutely. Come to me." And so, it says, Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water to Jesus. What happened? When he saw that the wind was, quote, boisterous, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." He was overcome. One moment he's walking in faith, the next he is sinking. Our Lord says in the parable of the sower, which is a few chapters before this, he says the seed is sown among thorns, and that is often that the worries and anxieties of this life choke out faith in the Word. How well all of us here know this, that when we take our eyes off Christ and center them on ourselves, our worries, our problems, we know exactly what happens. We too lose our way in the wind. We too fall. We sin. We fail. We know it. Yet ever patiently, once again, how does the Lord respond? Here's the word that sticks out to me in this text. Number one, he says, immediately Christ reached out his hand to Peter, just as he had done to the disciples before. Immediately. The Lord does not let us just sink. The Lord does not let us just flounder by ourselves, even when we think he is. He's immediately there for us to turn to and to call out and put our hands to. And what does he say? "You of little faith, why did you doubt me again?" When our problems stack up and we look to ourselves as the answers, then of course we're going to doubt. We don't have any resources in and of ourselves. But when we look to Jesus Christ, the creator of the wind and the waves, we have every reason to soar in confidence. He's not only the master of the wind and waves, but of the worst tempest itself, of death. How does Matthew describe that day when our Lord rode out the worst storm on the cross? In Matthew, these words, "From the sixth hour until the ninth, darkness came over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Our Lord, who, as Paul says in Hebrews, became like us in every way without sin, faced the waves and the wind, faced the worst that all of us face. In staying the course, our Lord rode out the storm, and Matthew records that on that day of his cross, at that moment of Jesus' death, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared to many people. That's what happened in the midst of the wind and the waves against our Lord. And if that is what happened against the Lord of all creation, how can anything keep us down? How can anything destroy us? Not. He died. He rose. He conquered every fear, every weakness, death itself, so we could die and rise with him in our baptism. And we can die and rise with him every time we come to confession. And every time we come to the Holy Eucharist, receive the body and blood of Christ, where he's saying, immediately, have no fear. Trust. And
And so he sends us into our life again from this church. He sends us as the people of God to face our daily challenges, to face the challenges that will come for this parish. But he does so as the master of the wind and waves. Let us trust him, come to him, walk with him on the water. Christ is in our midst.
Yes. Yes.